Americans spent half their food dollars outside the home on heaven knows how many calories, but there's news today the government wants those calories to be clear.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The government's calculation of economic growth July through September was out today. It was revised upward beyond what most forecasters were expecting. Couple that to new signs of strength in the housing market. On Tuesdays, we consult Julie Niemann, the analyst at Smith Moore & Company.
This was a lovely raft of news that came out this morning, with a gross domestic product rising to 3.9%. That beat everybody's estimates. Housing prices were up 4.8%, according to Case Shiller this morning. That makes everybody feel a little bit richer. Consumer spending, that was still a modest 2.2%, but you know, you're going to see this improve in the fourth quarter, because with gasoline down 20% year over year, that's more money that's going to be spent on Christmas. So this is going to be a very good fourth quarter here.
Despite this, there is still much room for improvement.
It is an uneven recovery. In other words, high end is making more money, lower end is struggling a little bit here. And the Fed is going to be focusing on inflation, not on employment right now. And since there's so little evidence of it, you're probably not going to see any kind of dramatic increase in interest rates, period, for the coming year. So we're going to see Wall Street absolutely happy here, continuing to merge, to acquire, using free Fed money, and we'll see the market inching its way along.
Julie Niemann at Smith Moore & Company. Now let's check some other numbers. The Dow is up 12 points, less than a tenth percent. Actually, it just turned to unchanged. It's up just a fraction, actually. The NASDAQ Composite Index is up 0.2%. The S&P 500 is at 2,074, a rise of 0.25%. Today, the Food and Drug Administration will come out with new rules requiring restaurants with more than 20 locations to list the calories of the food that's on the menu. Marketplace's Scott Tong has been looking into this. Scott, how will this change what we see?
Well, it will change at places where parents like me are the weakest. It'll change at movie theaters, amusement parks, at convenience stores, pizza chains. This is a provision of the Affordable Care Act, David, to combat the country's obesity problem.
Now, you see a lot of the calorie counts in New York City already, and those have scared me off many an ill-advised sticky bun. But what do we know about the actual evidence for whether or not this changes anything?
Well, that many people are kind of like you. One of the largest studies on this took place at Starbucks. It compared stores with calorie signs and those without. Marketing professor Brian Bollinger at Duke was on the study, and this morning he told me that transparency changed things.
People were systematically underestimating the calories in the food items. And so when they saw the information on the boards, they were surprised and then reacted accordingly. Consumers can and will use this information if it's useful for them.
Now, the purchase calories went down just 6%, but it did find that the behavior change did stick with people.
Changing behavior among consumers, but what about the businesses?
Well, when merchants have to post calorie counts, they start to offer lower calorie choices. There's evidence for that. Now, here in Washington, there's also evidence that industry pushes back. So if there's no change in the law and it goes through, it takes place in 1 year.
Marketplace's Scott Tong, thank you very much. Now to a famous venture capitalist who says monopoly, not competition, is the way to go. Peter Thiel was a co-founder of the electronic payment system PayPal and was the first outsider to put money into a little social networking site called the Facebook. As part of our ongoing discussions on this program about the innovation economy, Thiel's advice to entrepreneurs is to find a niche and dominate the heck out of it. Actually, he put it more strongly than that.
You want to always aim for monopoly. We can debate whether that's good or bad for society, but from the point of view of someone starting a business, that's what you aim for. If you want to compete like crazy, you should open a restaurant, and you will get ferocious competition, but I think you won't do very well as a business.
Right, or go into the grocery store business where margins are so thin. But start a monopoly, like what? Try to corner the market while you can if you have a startup business?
You know, we have antitrust laws. You shouldn't do anything that involves illegal collusion or sort of a conspiracy or anything like that. But we certainly have all sorts of legal monopolies. So if you invent something new, you can get a patent, you get copyrights. So my bias is always that we should be trying to do new things. The next Mark Zuckerberg won't be building a social networking site. The next Larry Page won't be building a search engine. And so instead of copying other things that have been done, it's much more valuable to do something new.
In the book, you talk about what is your favorite question to ask when someone is sitting in front of you trying to get a job. Here it is. Tell me something that's true that almost nobody agrees with you on. I actually thought that was kind of terrifying because I'm not sure I would have had a ready answer had you asked me that. But what's useful about that question from your point of view?
It's one of those interview questions where even if you hear it in advance, it's hard to answer. It often requires a fair bit of courage because you have to tell the interviewer who's asking you an answer that he or she won't even agree with. And that's always a very uncomfortable thing to do. I think courage is an even shorter supply than genius in our world.
So if I turn that question around on you, what might you say?
One answer is in the context of Silicon Valley, even though I think technology is good and a lot of the progress that's happening is very good, I often do feel that a lot of it is somewhat overhyped. The cell phones that distract us from our environments also distract us from how our environments are strangely old as we're riding through subway systems from the late 19th or early 20th century. The worry I have is always that we need to be doing more on technology, not less.
How to build the future. Thiel gets annoyed when he sees startup companies paying their CEO too much in salary. An extended version of that interview, along with that point, is available here at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.